inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground.
Good morning, and welcome to the Garden Goddess Show on WDRT Radio 91.9 FM, Viroqua, Wisconsin. I'm Donna Smith, and I'll be here for the next half hour to talk gardening with you. I'm going to share some landscaping tips, and we're going to talk with Dave Tubin, owner of Second Nature at Reed's Creek. Dave and I will discuss what goes into hiring a designer or architect to plan out a new landscape for your property, and what goes into the process of making a realistic landscape plan. Sometimes we want more included in a landscape renovation than what can realistically be done by your contractor. So Dave has some helpful hints on how to create your wants and needs list that can be accomplished with ease for everyone involved. This is going to be informative and a fun discussion. Let's jump right into today's show with that interview with Dave from Second Nature at Reed's Creek. Thanks for joining me today, Dave.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. So just let's get started by you telling us a little bit about how you got into the nursery and landscaping business.
Well, that's a long story. I'll try to shorten it up. When I was just graduated high school, going to college, and like everyone else, I had no idea what I wanted to do. And I had gotten a summer job working for a tree trimmer. His name was George Radula, and he was the most interesting guy. And we would go around Milwaukee trimming trees. And he was kind of a mentor, kind of crazy, but just. He said every tree had a spirit, and I thought he was just an interesting guy. Mm-hmm. He just seemed to be so happy all the time, full of life.
Yeah.
And so I was going on to the University of Wisconsin Green Bay, and I had no idea, and they had a couple of horticulture classes there, and so I took them. I think I was able to take one elective, you know, and I took a horticulture class, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I liked the professors, you know. I liked the other kids that were in that program. And I stayed there for 2 years, and then I went on to MATC in Milwaukee, where I got my associate degrees, one in turf management, and then one was in landscape design.
Okay.
And then from there, I went to the University of Wisconsin at Madison and was going through the program for landscape architecture there, and I just fell in love with landscaping.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's and then I the whole time I was doing that, I was tending bar and I was landscaping, only because I had to pay for school.
Sure.
Sure. Know, that goes. And so I would landscape all day and just really loved it. Had a lot of great mentors along the way, and I think what I loved most about it was that you were always making somebody happy. It wasn't
right.
Like you were having to go and I don't know, pick out garbage cans or something. You know,
sure.
Like that.
Sure.
You're always surrounded by people that you know, you were creating this area for them in their yards, and they were always just happy to see you. So.
Sure. Yeah, I worked in an office for a while and just missed playing in the dirt and being outside.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. But I worked at the Arboretum, and that was kind of our culture was, you know, we took care of plants and made beautiful landscapes, and people were happy when they came there.
Yeah, so. Being surrounded by that same-minded people that love to be happy, you just tend to be a happier person, I think.
Yeah, I think so. So in your business that you have now, you have a garden center and landscaping service. How much of your business is doing landscaping projects for homeowners?
Currently, probably 3/4 of our business. So the larger part of our business is landscape. We are a 10-year-old company now. We're full design build.
Mm-hmm.
And by design build, that means that we are trying to sit down with people and just kind of get out of their heads what their dream is.
Sure.
And then we're able to take, you know, what they're thinking and just get it down into some type of either a two-dimensional plan or a three-dimensional walkthrough, so that they can kind of really envision what their yard is going to look like, how they want it to look.
Okay. And we talked this winter about the challenges of doing landscaping projects. What's important for a homeowner to consider when they plan to hire someone like yourself to do a project at their home?
That's a great question. I think one of the things that we struggle with the most is, I like to call it the HGTV scenarios, where people think that, you know, you can get this entire yard done for $5,000, you know,
right.
You have fire pits and outdoor kitchens and the entire pergola, new decks, and I don't know how they do that, but I think marrying up somebody's expectations with their budget, if you're dealing with a really reputable company, mm-hmm. there has to be a budget. And because everything that we do, we're doing a lot of kind of intricate design work.
Sure.
And whether that's, you know, and we can get similar looks with different budgets. So we might be using granite boulders, or we might be using a Becker bluestone. Well, Becker bluestone's going to be more expensive.
Okay.
So it's guiding people through that process. It doesn't mean that people have to compromise 100% on what they're looking for in an overall package. They just have to maybe compromise here or there. We might suggest that you use a smaller 1 gallon shrub instead of a 5 gallon or a 7 gallon shrub. So
right.
Some people have the budget to be able to have that more established landscape look right out of the box. And some people we can say, listen, these are going to grow fast. Let's save a little bit of money here so that we can kind of put these really awesome pops, you know, in the landscape here and there.
Right, right. Yeah. So budget is really an important part of the process. Do most people think about it that way, though, from the beginning?
No, they don't at all. They haven't quite frankly thought of it at all. And that's what makes it hard, because there's this gap between, okay, here's this guy that if I tell him I have $10,000, he's going to spend it all.
Right.
And part of that is absolutely correctly. If I was selling you a car and someone came up and said, I have $10,000, could you put me in the best car you could? For some reason, you trust that guy.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of the same way. What you're shopping for is you're shopping for somebody that's a good listener. Great design and the effectiveness and how happy that person is all depends on how well I do my job, or how well our designer does her job.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a process, and it's you know, people have gotten caught up in the free estimate. They've gotten caught up in a well thought of design. I don't want to say we don't do free estimates. We certainly can.
Mm-hmm.
But people are hiring second nature for our ability to design and our ability to listen, because what we're going to take them through is an entire design process. It's not coming out to your yard and saying, oh, you need this wall and it's 100 feet long and 4 feet tall and here's your bid.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, I'm on to the next one. Most of our clients, we love to work for people that love their yard,
sure.
That are creating a sanctuary. They're creating a space to spend time with their family, to get off their phones, to reconnect. That's what we do really, really well.
And you have to think about that space as like, this is an extension of your house. This is another room in your house.
Yep.
That you want to spend time in.
Exactly. I don't know how many really well thought out fire pits we've put in, but people have come back and said, I never dreamed we would be using this space the way we do in the wintertime.
Oh, nice.
And that's one of the best things I think I could hear, because we're taking something that people weren't utilizing, and all of a sudden now they're like, never dreamed we'd be out there on a
mm-hmm.
on a, you know, kind of a cool winter day, you know, making s'mores out by the fire and just hanging out.
Sure. And do you get a lot of people who like have those kind of problem spots in their yard, and they're, you know, like, what do we do with this kind of
thing?
Oh,
absolutely. Absolutely, all the time. One of the things we do really, really well is water mitigation. People have all these issues with water. That doesn't mean that you can't make them beautiful or that it can, you know, be part of that landscape. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, everything that we do can't be this beautiful, sexy picture. Some of it is just function. And it's almost when you look at a home and you're like, well, we could build this home without wiring or we could build it with the wiring. Now, you're not going to see the wiring, but you're going to pay for it.
Right.
So those are some of the expectations that have to be laid out and say, listen, I wish we could start and you know, if this was a brand new house, we could control the grade. We could talk to the builder. We could make sure that we add another course on the basement. You can control those things. Mm-hmm. But when you're in a neighborhood that's established and you come in, sometimes there's work to be done on the foundation of that landscape that you're not necessarily going to see, but it's going to solve those other issues long term.
Okay. So when it comes to wanting to plan out, you know, make a plan for a landscape design, what are some of the mistakes that people make?
Oh, I think sometimes we get into situations where, again, things weren't really thought out, or sometimes we'll have to back away from a project because we weren't successful at, say, the budget talk, and too many of the foundational things get cut out that we just know that if we were to go into that situation, the landscape's going to fail, and we just try not ever to put ourselves in a position where, you know, 2 or 3 years down the road, people are going to find themselves in a bad position.
Sure.
And then something will have to be ripped out and paid for again. Mm-hmm. So those are things where, you know, you'd like to think that you can marry your company up with every single person, but sometimes it just doesn't work. And sometimes in our, you know, they may be getting, you know, 4 or 5 different quotes from people.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's differing opinions on how maybe a project should proceed. I would just say that you want to be pretty solid that the person that you're working with has a background in understanding those problems and moving forward with that. It's I think people all too often. And I understand, you know, that they shop with their wallet.
Sure.
Rather than say, okay, well, you know, some of my questions would be like, what's the likelihood that we're going to have to revisit this in 5 or 10 years?
Mm-hmm.
If they can't give you a solid answer or say, oh, no, gosh, you know, absolutely not.
Right.
You know? Those are some things that I would be asking for, because the landscapes today, they're not necessarily just small projects.
Sure.
You know, we're designing for the next 30 or 40 years, you know, or strategically planting, you know, where are you going to put this maple or oak that's going to be there for the next 100 years?
Right.
So it's just, sometimes I think people just need to slow down. At the nursery, we've tried very hard to put in different trees and different plants, combinations, so that when we walk someone through, they're like, gosh, I love the way that looks together. I love those textures. I love those colors. Mm-hmm. I love how that looks. And then we can really start to focus in on what is it that they love, because it goes all back to we can do a Southwest design for this person because that's what, you know, they may have come from Arizona and they're in the Driftless now.
Sure.
And they gravitate towards that type of look, and we can do that in this area. Or this person might be like, gosh, I just want it to look like we dropped out of the, you know, Country Living magazine, you know, in an old farmhouse.
Yeah.
We can do that. It's guiding people through that design process, once again, that makes them so satisfied when we're finished, because we asked a lot of questions. This design process is not an hour. It's not 3 hours. Sometimes it's days and it's 4 drafts. To mm-hmm. get to where people need to be. By that time, you know, we might have 20 or 30 hours into some design work and consultations, you know, to get to that final product.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, so it does sound like, too, like, you know, if people are interested going to a place like Second Nature and walking around their grounds would be a great thing to do to see some of the work that they are capable of doing.
Oh, and then, absolutely.
And then absolutely. Just like you said, you know, like they'll see plants and combinations and things like that. And, you know, visiting botanic gardens and other places where you can see landscapes that can kind of give you some ideas is a good...
Absolutely. There's so much talent out there. And if you're traveling into a larger city, or if you just see something like in your neighbor's yard that you really love, or we have neighbors now that are sharing property lines and splitting the cost of putting in these beautiful natural fences. Mm-hmm. Not that they don't love their neighbor. They just want a little privacy, you know.
Right.
They still leave a little hole in the bush to get through, to get over to the neighbor's yard so
right.
they can still go have a drink or something. But
yeah, if you can work together, that makes it all the more enjoyable for both of you to get something that you both want.
Yeah, because you're going to see it from both sides.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yep.
So as we get ready to wrap up, Dave, what advice do you have for better planning when it comes to wanting to do a project? What should people think about?
I think people should just take some lawn chairs and put them in their backyard and say, how do I want to use this area? Like what, and when you're back there, how do I want to screen it? What do I want to block out? What do I want? Where do I want to kind of have those private moments? Do I want to be out of the wind? You know, do I want mm-hmm. to sit in the rain? Do I want a covered pergola, you know, so that we can sit outside while it's raining? And are we going to bring in a hot tub or a water feature or, you know, all of these things? And I think, you never really have to compromise on your overall vision if you're willing to do this over the course of, you know, 3 or 5 or 7 years. You can get to that complete look. I think working with a company like ours, we can take you through that process and say, well, this is what we need to do first, and this is what we need to do second, and this is what we need to do third.
Mm-hmm.
And we're always going to put a little sizzle on the grill. You know, you're always going to have something where you're like, oh, that looks great. It can't always just be something that's not fun. There mm-hmm. has to be these, you know, when you're going through a process like that, you always want something that absolutely looks beautiful and changes your yard and just makes you feel really great and proud of, you know, your own place.
Sure. Oh, that's great advice. Well, I want to thank you, Dave, for joining me this morning. And you've had some great advice for people. I hope people will take advantage of going down to Second Nature and looking around and seeing what fun things are there and getting some ideas to put into their own landscape.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why we're here. We love what we do. And people are always welcome to come down and pick our brain, you know, and we love to help them.
Okay.
Well, thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you so much. You have a wonderful day.
Oh, you too. Thank you.
Now let's see what we have in today's garden cart. If you have a question about something going on in your garden or want some help or advice, you can email me. If you're curious about a garden-related topic that you'd like me to cover in a future show, let me know that too. Send an email with questions or suggestions to gardening@wdrt.org, and I'll respond on a future show. Our question today comes from my friend Kathy in Michigan. Her lakefront property has a boulder retaining wall going down to the water. She'd like to add some plants in and around the rocks and wants to know what to plant there. She also inquired about the possibility of adding some containers with plants spilling over the pots and the rocks. Kathy added that the area is in full sun. Drought-tolerant and shallow-rooted plants fit well into these types of rock garden spaces. There are a number of plant possibilities, so when choosing plants, think about the variety of texture, flower and plant color, and bloom time. Plants that bloom throughout the season will add continual interest to a space. This is good advice for any area of your garden, but can be of particular interest along a retaining wall. I have quite a few suggestions, so let's start with hens and chicks sedum. No rock garden is complete without them. They're a low-growing plant that will nestle itself among the boulders. Try cobweb, hens and chicks, or other low-growing sedums for variety and low-maintenance plantings. Another popular sedum that will take these growing conditions is Sedum Autumn Joy. It blooms in late summer to early fall and is a favorite flower of butterflies. Lavender is a suitable plant for hot weather and poor soil. Lavender combines well with ornamental grasses, for instance, and adds fragrance and beautiful blooms to your garden. Among ornamental grasses, try blue fescue to add texture and fullness to the garden. The blue color really stands out among rocks and boulders. Prairie dropseed, Spirabilis heterolepis, is considered to be one of our most ornamental native grasses. It has graceful, fine textured foliage with see-through fall seed heads. For a plant to spill over the top of a rock wall, this one will fit that spot well. You might try scattering a few other ornamental grasses along the top of the wall. Among my favorites are many cultivars of our native Little Bluestem and Calamagrostis Carl Forster. I like the rigid, upright habit of Carl Forster, and it's a well-behaved plant, not seeding around the garden uncontrollably. Creeping Thyme fits in well to a rock garden with nice foliage and flowers. This can also be added to a lawn or between pavers in a walkway. Armeria, commonly known as sea thrift, is a low-growing perennial. It forms a grass-like mound of foliage and has a globe-shaped flower produced on short, stiff stalks. This is a rugged, low-maintenance plant that will attract pollinators to your rock garden, border, or container. Prickly pear cactus can be a wonderful addition to this type of landscape. It's hardy and drought-tolerant, producing beautiful large yellow flowers. Placement is key, so put this plant away from walkways to avoid any issues with kids or pets that may get too close. Erebus, or rock cress, is a mat-forming perennial with fragrant white, purple, or pink flowers. It'll do well in well-drained, sandy, or gritty soils. Once established, this plant is very drought-tolerant. Prune it back after flowering to encourage bushier growth. Placed along the top of the rocks, rock cress will spill over and soften the top edge of that retaining wall. Last but not least is Fireworks Goldenrod, Solidago rugosa Fireworks. Its finely textured leaves emerge burgundy in spring and change to dark green in summer. Late summer to early fall, it will have bright yellow flower sprays of tiny flowers that light up the garden. Fireworks is not a spreader like many other goldenrods. It's a well-behaved clumping plant. It attracts a wide array of native bees, butterflies, and birds, such as goldfinches that feast on the seeds of the plant in late fall. Kathy also asked about putting containers along the top of the rock wall. Herbs and some of the perennials I mentioned could be put into some of those containers. In full sun around the rock, be mindful that the pots may dry out more frequently, so additional watering may be needed. Using a product such as Soil Moist can aid in keeping moisture in the pots. Check containers frequently to determine the frequency needed for watering. In the tool shed this month, I'd like to recommend two products for your summer and annual containers. First would be a slow-release granular fertilizer. There are many good products that you can pick up at local garden centers. The slow-release action of these fertilizers allows for continual feeding of your flowers throughout the season with one application at planting time. Grow beautiful plants using less water by incorporating Soil Moist into container plantings. Once activated, this product stores over 200 times its weight in tap water and releases a steady supply of water as your plants need it. You can potentially reduce your plant waterings by up to 50%. It's an effective water management aid that's ideal for interior and exterior plantings, such as for containers, hanging baskets, and your annual flower beds. Add this to the soil about halfway down in your annual containers so the product is at root level of your plant. We'll finish up today's show with looking at the Garden Journal to see what things you can be doing in the coming month. The weeds are growing fast, so time to get your hands dirty and get them out of your garden beds. Moist soil from recent rains makes pulling weeds much easier. Plants like garlic mustard that have bolted and have a flower stalk are also much easier to pull at this time. Spend some time deadheading plants once the flowers have faded. For your annuals and some perennials, this will encourage another flush of flowers on the plant. June is the time to get your tomatoes, peppers, eggplants, melons, and squash into the garden. Now that the soil has warmed, they'll suffer less transplant shock and grow faster when planted in warmer soil. Want to try growing tomatoes in a container? My friend Glenn suggested Sunsugar. It's a yellow tomato that's a little larger than a cherry. The plant can get several feet tall, so you will need to stake it. Another friend suggested the variety Baby Boomer for a compact tomato plant suitable for a container. Remove unwanted suckers and shoots from the leaf axils of your indeterminate tomato varieties as they start growing. This directs the plant's energy toward growing larger, higher quality fruit on the plant and will keep the plant a bit more compact and easier to stake and maintain in the garden. And lastly, it's mowing season. When mowing, only remove about one-third of the grass plant at each cutting. Removing less leaf surface area minimizes stress on the plant. Ideally, you want grass height to be 2.5 to 3.5 inches to shade the soil, keep roots cool, and prevent weed seeds from sprouting. This will aid in cutting down on watering and the use of chemicals to kill weeds in the lawn. That's a wrap for this month's show. I'll end with another garden quote from A. Nani Moose. To plant a garden is to believe in tomorrow. Thanks so much for joining me today. Please join me again next month for another discussion about gardening and plants. Have a wonderful day. Let's go out and make our world a little more beautiful, one plant at a time.